Okay, think back to the last time you visited your local library. Did you check out a new best-selling book? Did you borrow a DVD? Maybe meet a study group? Or maybe you looked something up in the reference section? Since the early 20th century, libraries have really been a fundamental piece of the services that we expect from our cities or our counties. But the library we might have grown up with is changing, and the way we interact with the library and the services it offers is also changing. With new technologies changing the way we access information, we got to wondering, what does the future hold for libraries? Joining us for this conversation is Joseph Janes. He's the chair of Library and Information Science at the University of Washington and the founding director of the Internet Public Library, and he's kind enough to join us from Seattle. Thanks for talking with us today, Joseph.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
And joining me in the studio is David Vota. He's the Community Engagement Librarian at the Midwest Collaborative for Library Services. He's also worked in libraries, including the Detroit Institute of Arts Research Library and the Capital Area District Library in Lansing. Good to have you with us.
Thank you.
Joseph, I'd like to start with you. When I think library, I think of growing up in the 60s, and my Ferndale Library was the archive of information. It was packed with books I could not wait to get and read. And I wonder, do libraries matter as much to people today as that Ferndale Library mattered to me in the 60s?
I think for a lot of people, they matter even more. One of the things that we've discovered over the last few years is that use of libraries, if you measure it both in terms of people who walk in the door and what they do, as well as people who use libraries remotely via the web, is that that use is up and growing. And people are using them in more ways. My small-town library in upstate New York in the 60s was very much like the one you describe, and I remember the couple who used to write their names in the back of all the books that they'd read so they didn't repeat, which I think is charming.
Very.
And as soon as we figure out how to do that on the web, we'll be in better shape. So that kind of aspect of libraries, all the things that you listed of checking out a bestseller and meeting a study group or maybe coming to a class or maybe, you know, engaging with people in making something, all of that still goes on. And then at the same time, over the last decade or so, every public library in the country has gotten computers with internet access. Mm-hmm. And a lot of that is due to the initiatives of the Gates Foundation. But what that means is that the public library has become a technologically sophisticated institution, and in many communities, the only technologically sophisticated institution in the community. So it's the place to go to get internet access to do things that are important in your life. And so there's this whole additional avenue that has opened up for people in terms of use and engagement with their public libraries and communities.
And David, how have you seen this play out since you're the community engagement librarian? How has this affected the way that you are interacting with the public?
Well, public libraries now, especially since the economic downturn, have had to find new and novel ways to lift up the community. The Jackson District Library is teaching classes in financial literacy. The Capital Area District Library works with the Capital Area Michigan Works to help people improve their job skills, resumes, job searching. The Harbor Springs Public Library, and amongst others, has a program where you can check out seeds. So you can check out heirloom seeds, and then when you produce your fruit, you bring back the seed. So there's all kinds of different ways that the libraries are improving real-world practical applications to people's lives.
So beyond going in and checking out, you know, the Laura Ingalls Wilder book that I pounced on as a child, so your favorite books, it sounds like it can be tailor-made to what the community around it needs.
Absolutely, and that's part of with my gig with community engagement is mm-hmm. listening to the community, finding out what they need, and meeting those services.
And, of course, the Laura Ingalls Wilder book is still profoundly important.
Yes, it is.
One of the other things that we've learned over the last few years is that early literacy, you know, pre-preschool literacy, reading to kids, engaging with them, makes a huge difference in their word stock when they go to school.
So
story hour in the library is nice in the lady with the puppets and the felt boards and all of that. I mean, it's lovely, but it's also critical. In terms of early learning, in terms of preparing students for school and for education and their future success beyond, so which public libraries have been doing for decades.
Now, I want to ask both of you, I'll start with you, Joseph. Do you envision a day when, because of what we're doing in technology, when those books themselves will be extinct?
Well, the book is changing. The book has always been changing. The book has been changing since 2,000 years ago when the codex form of the book, the open at the spine,
sure,
at the edge kind of thing book, I mean, we added page numbers, we added section headings, we added paragraphs. We've added all kinds of devices to those kinds of things to make them work.
We've added readable print. I can add you that because I've got a lot of
spaces between the words. Nobody knows this. Spaces between the words for the first 1,000 years of this, you know, in the first millennium, there were no spaces between the words.
Yeah.
That was intentional to make it harder to read, so you had to pay attention.
Ah.
We've made things considerably easier since then. And the book is now changing again in a really profound way. And as we get more and more examples of the electronic form of the book, those are going to get more and more interesting. I think the current ebook, what we think of as the current ebook, the kind of thing you download to your Kindle or iPad or phone or whatever.
Sure.
Steven Soderbergh is writing a novel by tweet. I think it's kind of creepy.
Wow,
but
that is
more
creepy.
Power to him. Somebody had to do that.
I guess so.
So that's what's happening, is that the book is evolving, it's taking on new shapes, and that's a really exciting time because it now gives us new opportunities for storytelling. It now gives more people an opportunity to be heard. It's also a little bit scary if you're in the book business because nobody quite knows what's going to happen. The publishing industry, the bookselling industry, libraries, anybody who's involved in the book as an object is watching this all with great care to try to figure out what happens and then what do we do about it.
Do we see a day, David, when the book that we've all grown up with is like the cassette tape, that good luck finding a place to play your old cassette, or even more so an 8-track?
In the foreseeable future, current bestsellers, perhaps, we're going to see those. It's going to be a lot harder to get them in libraries. The publishers and distributors are going to hang on to that e-content. But other things, say the seminal text on saltpeter, which was written in 1978. I'm making this up.
Sure.
There isn't a market to digitize or copyright on that. So that's going to remain in big libraries on the shelf that someone has to go to. Or historical books. The local libraries are the repositories of your historical collections, the photographs, the county histories. Those things, even though they are digitized, are going to remain in artifact form. And that's what actually tells the story of your community.
And that really is something we need to address, too, a facet of the role of the library, isn't it? Beyond, you know, getting to come in and check out the hot new novel, the idea that the history is rooted there.
Oh, no. I mean, this is the story of your community, and it is the librarians which are gatekeepers of that, but they're also the ones that have to put that into context. I mean, to be able to read all these manual and photographs to make an actual digestible story out of that, that's part of the librarian's role.
That was David Voda, who's the Community Engagement Librarian at the Midwest Collaborative for Library Services. He's joined me in the studio. And we're also speaking with Joseph Janes, who's the Chair of Library and Information Science at the University of Washington and the Founding Director of the Internet Public Library. And he's talking to us from Seattle as we look at the libraries of the future. And, Joseph, I want to ask you about a quote that I uncovered from Dr. William Crossman, who's the founder director of the CompSpeak 2050 Institute for the Study of Talking Computers and Oral Culture. And he is predicting by 2050, literacy will be dead. Do you agree with that?
How many of these have I heard? This is the problem with being around for so long, is you hear these things all the time.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Well, back in the 70s, we were going to have the paperless office. Remember that?
Yeah, right. We
saw how did that go?
Not so well.
There's no evidence that anybody wants a purely oral culture anymore. Literacy is really about access to the culture. And if you're not literate in the sense of being able to find what you're looking for, understand it, as David very rightly says, put it in context, understand it, then you're not fully engaged in the culture. And that's what literacy does for us, and that's what our professional colleagues are engaged in every day, is engaging people with their community, engaging them with their society, engaging them with their culture, and being able to participate and then contribute to it. You know, write your own books, sing your own songs. That's what literacy is going to become. is a much broader, more engaged notion of how to be part of the culture in a real and authentic way.
Literacy and holding the information. I mean, information is a commodity. It's more than a commodity. It's the commodity. It always has been. You know, 400,000 years ago, the Homo erectus that knew how to make fire, that's the one that survived. 10,000 years ago, those who knew how to domesticate plants and develop agriculture, 1500 BC with iron. This isn't the building block, but these are the architectural blueprints of what our society has become. And that's what libraries do, is disseminate this information. And there always have been political and moneyed interests, which is fine. I'm a capitalist. That want to keep some of that information so they can make a little bit more. Mm-hmm. But libraries democratize information and allow that for everyone to have it and to lift them up. They're already – libraries are already spending money on databases, on business databases, on health databases, on legal resources that are available to the public. It's now the librarian's charge to be able to market that a little bit better. That's one of the real challenges, is librarians do a traditionally poor job of tooting their own horn. And it's a very noble thing, which librarians do. But folks that run children's hospitals and run cancer centers have recognized the importance of marketing.
Image.
If there is something that is more noble than caring for a sick child, I don't know if I want to know about it.
Right.
But if they can do this and have recognized the importance, librarians really need to get on the bandwagon and be able to show their importance.
So, Joseph, where do you see the main challenges for libraries looking ahead? What should libraries be doing right now in 2013 to prepare for the future to stay relevant and important to us?
Well, that's the big question, isn't it? That's when I go around the country and speak, when I talk to my colleagues out in the professional trenches, I hear this all the time. What do we do? What do we do? What do we do? And I don't think there's a single answer to that. We focused in our conversation today mostly about public libraries. Of course, there's a whole other realm of libraries in colleges and universities, and what they do is similar in some ways and different in others. Of course, libraries in schools, please, mm-hmm. that there should be libraries in schools and in corporate settings and organizations and all kinds of things. Not to mention, a good chunk of our students here at the Information School go to work in other kinds of settings. So there's no single answer to that. I guess a librarian who asked me that today, I would say, first of all, just do the phenomenal job you're already doing. Understand your community. Know what their needs are. Be part of your community. Really know them down to the ground so that you're in a better position, as David says, to be able to meet their unique needs. You know, what Ferndale needs isn't what Ann Arbor needs, isn't what Rochester Hills needs, isn't what Grosse Ile needs. See, I used to live in Michigan. I remember these things.
You sure did.
and those communities are all going to have different needs, and they're very different from what U of M libraries are going to need, or Eastern or Western mm-hmm. or any of the others. So understand your community. Do your job really well. As David says, it's absolutely critical. Tell the story. Be out there. Talk about the library as an economic development engine. Talk about the library as a place to get healthcare information. Talk about a library as a place to get education, to get a job, to get to the next stage of whatever it is you want to do. And then, in all your spare time, because you've got a lot less money than you used to, because people think cutting libraries in a recession is a good idea, which it isn't, look to the other side. Look, you know, what is happening? What is happening to the book? Why are publishers increasingly unwilling to sell us books because they think we're undercutting the market, particularly ebooks?
Mm.
What's happening with technology? What's happening with mobile devices? What's happening with, you know, do we have to start worrying about things like Google Glasses? You know, these kinds of devices that are only just sort of on the periphery? Well, you never know.
Boy, you just got an eyebrow raised from David when you said that.
Yeah. You know, there's going to be a never-ending parade of innovation after innovation, technology after technology, and social trend after social trend. And we can't not be in the middle of all that, because the library is one of these centerpieces of communities and institutions. And if you're not in all the things that your community is in, you can't be the centerpiece.
David, kind of wrapping this up for us, I'm thinking of my about-to-turn 2-year-old grandson. And when he is grown and he's teenage into an adulthood, what do you think the library will look like for him? He's being trotted off, by the way, regularly to his local library, even at age 1, for all the things that they offer. What do you think that library, though, will look like in the future?
Couple things. One thing, that the library is going to be everywhere. I mean, as Joe said, the library is in your mobile device. It's in your iPad. The library, some of the services the libraries are providing, our integrated library systems are going to be in the cloud. So, I mean, the library is going to be all around us. So that's that kind of macro look at it.
Yes.
The libraries, touching on the e-books, that's also an opportunity that librarians can assist with self-publishing. I mean, we can create bibliographies. We can help you with that. I mean, it's another looking at other services, emerging services that are going to be needed in meeting those challenges. What the physical space is going to look like, there are so many different things that are being done in libraries now. Maker spaces, hacker spaces — hacker's kind of a loaded word, but places for people to create, to work on robotics. There is a I would like, if I'm going to go to a wish list, have some sort of gaming environment. And I'm not talking about a row of computers where people are playing games, but there is research that shows strongly that creating some sort of gaming metrics in education really works. And, people learning new levels in science to get to a new level. If you had some sort of interactive environment where people, kids, teens, adults are playing games, are up and moving, and are learning at the same time. Don't tell the kids that we're actually having them exercise and learn, but it's a, there are wonderful opportunities, and and the beauty of that is all that technology already exists. People just haven't put it together yet.
Exciting stuff, and a far cry from that that old image of Mary and the librarian going, shh.
God love us.
I've been speaking with Joseph Janes. He's the chair of the Library and Information Science at the University of Washington, and he's the founding director of the Internet Public Library. He was kind enough to join us from Seattle. And here in the studio was David Voda, the community engagement librarian at the Midwest Collaborative for Library Services. Thank you so much to both of you for taking time to be on the program.
Thank you. Swell time.
Thank you. A great pleasure.